Thanks, guys. What a wonderful privilege to get to be here. Thank you for being in the household and in the family. I'm going to do this now. This is my Bible. Well, whatever. This is a little bit different than I think I've done before in the past, you know. But I like it. It's kind of handy, you know. Sometimes I think I'm preaching to the choir, you know. Art. Anyway, what I wanted to share, you know, this we remember this time of year, right, as Happy Household Holiday, Ho-Ho, which is something that came up with years ago, Ho-Ho. And this time of year, of course, we think of our family and spending time with them, right, and spending time with the family, our extended family, our spiritual family, and it's so awesome. And, of course, it is also a time of gift-giving and remembering the birth of Christ. And, of course, we know, I think somebody mentioned, Jesus Christ wasn't born on December 25th. But it's still cool, right, that we celebrate Christ. That's what we do. He was born on September 11th. But, you know, I was thinking about the household of believing and the great privilege to which we are called. So I wanted to share the household of privilege. And, you know, there was something around this time of year that did happen around this time of year, and that is that, and it was very much a milestone, I believe, towards bringing in about our household of privilege. If you'll take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 1, that's where we're going to start, Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 26. And this is something that happened. It says in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Boy, I wonder what he was going to do in the city of Galilee in Nazareth, right? We're just going to jump up a few verses back to verse 5, because we read in the sixth month of what, right? And so if you go to verse 5 of chapter 1, it says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah. So now, 6 months before would have been around early June, right? Or so, maybe first part of June. And it says, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. So she would have been of the daughters of the priesthood. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of God, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well stricken in years. If you'll jump to verse 13. So he was in the temple ministering. And it says, But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Okay, so this is now the conception of John, all right? And it says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Verse 24. It says, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me, to take away my reproach among men. And then we read, in the sixth month, so it was in the sixth month of what? Of John, right? John's conception. So now you have 6 months later, you have Jesus Christ. It says, verse 27, this Gabriel came to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And it says, and the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. So, you know how I know this is around the same time period? Well, if you do your math, you know, it's September 11th, September, October, November, December, right? So early December, probably this period of time. And it says, and he shall be great, verse 32, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be what? Impossible. Isn't that cool? And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And angel departed from her. What did Mary do? She received words from God, and she did what? She believed. She believed those words from God. Look at Matthew chapter 1. You see, so Mary conceived around this time, and we know that she came from royal lineage. And if we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1, we're going to see that Mary came from a royal lineage. And this royal lineage was, by this time, all but forgotten. It was recorded in the Bible, but the government of the time just didn't recognize the kingship of anything, right? The ancient kingship of Israel. But God did. And so we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, this is Mary's line, okay? Matthew 1, 1, it says, The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of who? Abraham. And then we read, Abraham begat Isaac. So Abraham, he's the first one listed in this line. And who do we know Abraham as? The father of believing, right? The father of believing. And we read, Mary believed and conceived. And if you read, it says here, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom and Esrom Aram, and Aram Aminadab, and Aminadab Naasson, and Naasson Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of who? Of Rahab. It's really interesting when you see this line. There's a couple of women. It's very uncommon for women to be listed in here. There's a couple of women listed. One is Rahab. Who is this? Rahab. If you keep your finger here, which of course I can because I can get backwards, but we're going to go to Joshua. We're just going to read a little thing about Rahab. Joshua chapter 2 is where we're going to go. And it's really cool. We're going to go to Joshua 2, and we'll start in verse 9. And if you'll remember, this is the record where these two spies went into the promised land, into Jericho, to spy it out, right? They're just about ready to enter, cross the Jordan, and take it. And they come up upon this woman that hides them in her house. And why did she hide them? You know, it says, verse 9, And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the what? Land. And that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the kings of the Amorites, which were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. I mean, if there was an incident 40 years before where they entered the promised land, and they were, 10 of them said, no, we can't do it. We're just not good enough. We just can't. We're not big enough. We're too small, blah, blah, blah. Here, this woman from the land tells them, these two witnesses, man, we're scared. Man, we're chicken. You guys are going to take us over, right? Isn't that amazing? And it says in verse 11, And as soon as we heard these things, our heart didn't melt, and neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord our God, he is in... For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a good token. She believed. Because the Lord our God, right, is the Lord your God. He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. That's from a woman that, my gosh. She didn't exactly grow up with the children of Israel, did she? That's Rahab. She believed, right? And here, you think about the same period of time the children of Israel are having a hard time believing. She believed. Rahab was of believing. Let's continue back to, let's go back to Matthew again, chapter 1. All right. And we're gonna continue reading a little bit. And it says right here in the same chat, in the same verse, verse 5 says, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, okay? And then it says, and Boaz begat Obed of who?
Ruth,
right? So here's another lady, that's a Moabitess. Was she part of the children of Israel?
No.
Was she part of the family, the Yin people? No, uh-uh. And yet, let's go to Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 1. We're going to read that one. Ruth chapter 1, and we'll just read verse 16. And so here, remember Naomi was going to leave the country of Moab. She had been living there for a while because of a famine. She's going to leave, and she has two daughters-in-law, right? She has Oprah, is that her name? What was her name? Orpah? Yeah. And Ruth. And she says, come on, you gals are young gals, you're pretty, you know, go find yourself a husband. I'm old, I'm going to just go home to my family and die, you know. And, you know, she says, both will go on, and or Orpah, she says, okay, I guess I'll go back. So she goes back, Ruth says this. Ruth in verse 16 says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where you lodgest, I will lodge. My people shall be thy people, and thy God, my God. Again, what a believer, right? She believed God. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. Again, she wasn't part of the, I guess you'd say, the people, right? And yet, she believed. And we find a pattern here, and that is that they may not have been born into Israel, but they believed. Abraham believed, Rahab believed, Ruth believed, others in the line believed, right? And you see this pattern. It's really pretty cool. Abraham, of course, is the father of believing. But the lineage continues. We're going to go to verse 11. And it says, Josiah, so this is King Josiah, begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And then you read, and after that they were brought to Babylon, you know, there was Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zorobabel. And then in verse 16, so you get this line all the way down to verse 16, and it says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Christ. Now here we have a little bit of a problem. Hi. We have a little bit of a problem because it says, and Joseph, the husband of Mary. And yet, this is a line that goes all the way down to Mary. So, you know, why would she be the husband? Then that would be Joseph, right? But the problem is actually this word husband is translated from a word anir, which is the Greek word for man or mighty man, right? A man. So it was Mary's man. Today we might say Mary's old man. Right? That's probably what we would say today. However, even today, you could say it's her old man, but is it her husband or is it her dad? Most of us would understand it one way or the other. My mom used to call my dad, or, you know, viejo, or that means old man, you know, basically. But her old man was her dad too, right? So in this case, though, it would have to be the problem with it being her husband is in Luke chapter 3. We're going to come back here, but just skip real fast to Luke chapter 3, and we're going to see some. It gives us, Luke chapter 3, there's another line that we have, and it's in verse 23, I believe. And in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, and it says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, okay, they thought maybe, you know, the world thought he was the son of who? Joseph, which was the son of Eli, which is the son of Mephat. So in other words, an entirely different line. So you trace Joseph's line, goes all the way back to Adam, because they established that Jesus Christ is a man. But in the Gospel of Luke, but this wasn't the Joseph that Mary, this is the Joseph Mary married, right? Mary married, yeah, that's right. It wasn't the Joseph that was her dad. So what are we understanding? Well, there was two Josephs, right? There was her dad named Joseph. It's a pretty common name, right, Joseph? I mean, it's a pretty common name. A lot of people, Joseph. It's real possible that a woman could marry, you know, a Joseph. You guys haven't married yet, but I mean, when you do, you could maybe marry a Joseph, right? And you'd have a Joseph and a Joseph. That's very possible. if we go back to Matthew. So it's a different, it's an entirely different Joseph, right? Going back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 16 again, it says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the father of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Now this is the clincher right here. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. We won't count them, but if you did, they would be 14. And it says here, "And all the generations to David under the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." If you count them, and you leave that as husband, you only get 13, I think, or 12. It's like, you don't get 14, all right? But if you count them out, you get 14, right? But the thing that is cool here is that Mary comes from a line of believing. It's really kind of cool. And this is our pedigree, because it's the last one listed there is who? Christ. And Christ where? In us, right? So our pedigree is go way back to believing in Abraham, right? It says he's going to be the children of Abraham, children of believing. Did Ruth have to be born into it?
No.
Did Rahab have to be born? No. What did they do? Believe. That's what it took, right? It took believing. So this was the royal line of wonderful believers along with Mary. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. So you have Abraham in the beginning listed, and then you have Jesus Christ listed at the very end. And it's really cool. If you go to Hebrews 12, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of believing." It's the beginner and finisher of believing. Jesus Christ began and he finished believing. Isn't that cool? So he's the you might say, the apex, the termination of it all. He's believing. The beginner and finisher of believing, and this is our pedigree. It's Christ in us. And look at Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to go there. Hebrews 11 real quick. Verse 6, it says, "But without believing or faith, it is impossible to please God," to please him. "For he that comes to God must believe that he is." Did Rahab believe he was?
Yeah.
Did Mary believe he was? Abraham? Yeah. Hezekiah in that line? Yeah, others, right? "Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So that's what we do. We seek after God. See, we have this pedigree not by our flesh. Definitely not by our flesh. But by something that started on the day of Pentecost through the accomplished works of one conceived and born all those years ago. About this time of year. Right? Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to go to verse 1. This is where we start. "And when the day of Pentecost is fully come," and I was sharing last week how that statement, "and when the day of Pentecost is fully come," you just have to take a deep breath and you just have to dwell on it. Because there's a lot involved in that statement, right? Read the entire Old Testament. It was things that God was waiting to happen that happened, had to culminate to that time. And when the day of Pentecost was fully coming, I'm sure God just says, whew, right? Here we are now, ready to act, right? ready to shed forth that Spirit because of what Jesus Christ did. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house while they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, just like we heard today, right? You see, this household, once that happened, this household of privilege that we're a part of started. The household of privilege. You guys have heard of white privilege, right? You guys know who you are. Right? But think about this, guys. You know, we are privileged beyond, I mean, how we are privileged makes white privilege just, it just disappears, doesn't it? I mean, it really disappears because there is no white privilege. It's household privilege. It's our privilege. We have the privilege. And, it's really almost unfair, the privilege we have. But Jesus Christ paid the price, so it's fair. The devil thinks it's unfair. He's going to, you know, hey, you privilege them so much. Yeah, we are privileged. Yeah, we are. So that white privilege pales in comparison to the privilege we have as part of this household. And so look at Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, believing is our pedigree. Believing is where we come from. God blessed us really big. And in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, you know. Wait a minute, let's see. Where was it at? I was looking for, or maybe it might be chapter 3, verse 19.
It's 2:19.
Is it 2:19?
Yes.
2:19. Well, that's what we read. Yeah, that's what we read. But I was talking about, and it might be actually in verse, I don't know, but so basically the whole family of heaven and earth, right, that's us.
3:15.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, you're right. It is 1:19. No, it is. It's absolutely one. I think it is. I was just off by one. No. I think it might. You said it was 3:15, Joe?
Yeah.
There it is. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is what?
Named.
So your last name is no longer Martinez or Bem or, you know, Nicholson. It's Godson, right? Godson. It's a cool last name, right? Godson. That's what it is. It's, you know, we're named after God, so it's Godson. Pete Godson. You guys can, I mean, I won't change my name, but it's still, you know, you can still call me Martinez, but that's really what it is, right? The whole family of heaven and earth is named. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. So here are some of our privileges. And, you know, when I read Ephesians, a lot of times it's a lot like opening a present, you know? Because you're like, you kind of go, wow, okay, so what do we have? what, you know, like when we're opening a present with great anticipation, you're going, ooh, what's in here, you know? That's what's in here. So we're going to read. We're going to read this chapter because it's awesome. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. So do we need to pray for these things?
No.
Do we need to beg God for them?
No.
It says we've already have them, right? According as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I like that. I like being holy and without blame. Because if it were me thinking about what I have, I'd be blaming myself a lot. We know, you know, all you know what we blame ourselves for a lot of times. Don't. Having predestinated us or marked us out before unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. All right, so he didn't get drug into it. They didn't make him. Somebody didn't make God do it. It's a good pleasure of his will. He wanted to do this, right? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. How many kids want to be accepted, right? You guys want to be accepted in your group or whatever. You're already accepted in the greatest group. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, which, according to his good pleasure, which he's purposed in him, this is in Christ, right? That in the administration of the fullness, I'm changing words around, guys, I'm just, because, you know, it just makes more sense. That he in the administrations of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, including us, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance. Ooh, really? Having been predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should breathe to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, were you all believed? Did you believe? Right? Born again? Then you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And that's what we have, Holy Spirit. And that sealing is nothing can touch you. That's what sealed means, right? I mean, it's like an envelope that, you know, when you close an envelope and they put that wax seal on there? It just means anybody could open it, but when you get it, when the receiver gets it, it's not been touched, right? So you know, oh yeah, nothing's opened it, right? We've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We've been sealed. Isn't that cool? Talk about a privilege. We have privilege there. It says right here, verse 14, which is the token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We're talking about, I think it was in the men's advance, we were talking about this token, right? Like when you buy a piece of property, you pay a down payment, or you pay an earnest money, right? And it was like, I think, Tom, we were talking about how it's equivalent to the deal, right? So if you're going to buy $1 million piece of property, you put an earnest money that's quite high, right? And then what does the person that's going to buy it do with that earnest money?
Spend.
Oh, they spend it, right? That's how they spend it. They don't just set it aside. We have that token, don't we? So what should we do? Spend it, right? We spend it. It says, verse 15, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your believing in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, and here's the prayer, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's what we should be praying for each other, really, that we just... and pray for ourselves, that we understand and see things bigger, you know, the things that God has for us, right? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's what we're doing, right? We're going to learn a little bit more about what we have in him. What our privilege is. I was going to say white privilege. It's not. What our privilege is, right? Our household privilege. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? How big was that power? Well, the one that he wrought with in Christ when he raised him from the dead, that's a lot of power, isn't it? And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his what? Feet. And gave. So he put all things under his feet. This is, the feet are part of the body, right? So, what part of the body are you? Are you the feet? I don't know, maybe. I don't know. We're going to come back here, but let's go to Romans chapter 10 real quick. Romans 10. And in verse 15, you know, this is talking about verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the what? Feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Isn't that cool? So if you're the feet, they carry you to some place to bring the word to somebody, right? Isn't that cool? And so I've been talking about privilege, but with great privilege comes great what? Responsibility. And the responsibility would be to bring the gospel of peace to people, right? I was thinking of Mary when she said, without opposition, there's no strength. When you start bringing the gospel of peace to people, you're going to get opposition. But that's fine, because that's when you show that when the true strength of God comes out, right? That's when it comes out. Back to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 1 again. We'll just close out the chapter. Back to news. Hold on. These newfound angle things here. It says right here, has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. You see, we have a great privilege. And in this time of gift giving, the greatest thing that we can give, I think, is God's word unto salvation, right? If you want to give a great gift, find somebody and give them that. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and in verse 10, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, right? But then it says, especially unto them who are the household of what?
Faith.
So giving the word to each other is really cool too, right? That's awesome. That's what we're called to do. We can invite people into this household of privilege so that they can enjoy the privileges that we enjoy. And I'll close with another wonderful privilege. This is in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. And we're going to go to verse 5. And it says, even when we were dead in sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace are we saved. By what?
Grace.
Faith. God's favor. God's grace. His favor. We've been favored. Okay? Deal with it. We've been favored, right? That's what we say. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You mean to tell me it's going to take ages? I like that. It's going to take ages. Isn't that cool? Are we a privileged household?
Yes.
Absolutely. Amen. All right. That's what I wanted to share.
Thank you, Pete. Anybody lose their crayon?